We all have a history. We come into this world, Romans 5, 15 and 19 says, with a history in Adam. This is what God does. God gives us a whole new spiritual history, a whole new spiritual genealogy. He translates us out of our identity just in Adam and gives us a new identity in Jesus Christ. Not to us, but to your name
be the glory. Yes! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Free. Let's listen in as J.P. gives part two of Your History Determines Your Future.
The Apostle Paul, answering some very deep theological questions, roots this origin of sin to an historical person. Adam. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that sin plunged the entire human race into sin. That sin opened the door for corruption in creation. The natural order of things has been upset. The world we live in is not the world that God created. The individualization of who we are is not who God originally created. Something has marred it, disrupted it, perverted it. It's called sin. And this is that Greek word harmartia. It literally means to miss the mark. The word harmartia is a word that was used in Greek archery where the arrow would be fired at the target. Wherever the arrow hit, a distance was measured between where the arrow hit and the actual bullseye, and that distance was the term harmartia. It means to miss the mark. Sin, missing the mark, has become a part of the created order and become a part of our human nature. It's entered the world. Yesterday morning, I was having a cup of coffee, took my daughter out, Ashton, who's 11. We went out to Starbucks, and she got her mocha frappuccino. I got my cup of coffee. She's reading her little book for school. I'm reading the Bible. I'm taking some notes. I'm reading over this passage, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to be able to explain this stuff so that 11-year-old can understand it. If I just talk about it so that people with PhDs in theology can understand it, that didn't do anybody any good. So I turned to my daughter, Ashton. I said, Ashton, why do you think people sin? She's drinking her mocha frappuccino. She's reading her little book. She says, because we're not perfect. She looks back at her book. I said, Ashton, why aren't people perfect? She said, because of Adam and Eve. She's looking at her book. I said, well, what happened with Adam and Eve? And she said, well, they sinned. And I said, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, we're all sinners now because of Adam and Eve sinned. And I thought, my daughter's 11 and she understands theology more than most people. It's a simple story with profound implications. Sin has entered the world. We don't think right, we don't feel right, we don't act right. We don't live right. And nobody else does either. I am a sinner who sins and you are too. Because sin is entered into the world. That's what Romans 5 is telling us. Now, if that's all there was, that'd just be bad news. But the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is good news. But this first question is, where did sin come from? Sin entered the world through one man. Here's the second question. What are the consequences of sin? Well, this is what it says. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking command, as did Adam. The consequence of sin is death. In fact, death is mentioned 6 times in this passage in Romans 5, 12 to 21. It's the Greek word thanatos. And here's the idea in the Bible. Death is not so much cessation, the stopping of something. Death is separation. It's not so much cessation, the stopping of something. It's separation. And the Bible describes 3 kinds of death. It describes physical death. That's the separation of the soul from the body. It describes spiritual death. It's the separation of the spirit from God. And it describes eternal death. That's eternal death. Spiritual separation from God in what the Bible describes as hell. Here's what Romans 5 says. Just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and all sinned because all died, there is a spiritual connection, a physical connection, an eternal connection between sin and death. And Paul goes on to explain in this passage, using this term death 6 times, as the actual consequence of sin. People die physically, We live in a world where people die physically. That ultimately goes back to the fact and reality of sin. We live in a world where people are spiritually separated from God, which is the consequence of sin. God, in his holiness and justice, has set up an opportunity where people could come into a relationship with him, but those who disbelieve and reject his grace at the final judgment will be judged, and because of their sin, they will be eternally separated from God. See, these are the realities. This is what the Bible says. And they're life-changing realities when we come to understand them and see how they apply to us, because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What are the consequences of sin? Well, death. Physical, spiritual, eternal death. The point of this passage is this. We understand in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam, Eve disobeyed God. They ate of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. But they didn't physically die. But guess what? They spiritually died. That very moment, they were spiritually separated from God. What came later? Physical death. The argument of Romans chapter 5 is, well, how do we know about it? What about the other people? What about the people after Adam and until Moses at the Sinai covenant where the Ten Commandments were given and other laws and restrictions and guidelines from God? What about the people who lived in between that period? How do we know they had a sin problem? Because they all had the same consequence. Guess what? They all died. So it's speaking about this solidarity that is common about the whole human race. In Romans 5, verse 16, it says this, that, again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. There, the Apostle Paul uses the term trespass, which is not the same word as sin, not harmartia. It's the Greek word periptoma. And the word periptoma means this. There's a path, a clearly defined path you're supposed to walk on. And you're supposed to stay on the path, and all of a sudden you decide to step off the path. It's another term in the Bible for sin. It's the word transgress or trespass. It's the Greek word periptoma. God had given a clear plan for Adam as to how he should live. He was walking on that path, and then he stepped off of it. And that misstep or trespass, that periptoma, brought consequences, which in Romans 5:16, he defines death in terms of its consequence. He defines it as a judgment and as condemnation. The word judgment is the Greek word krima. And krima is the verdict that a judge renders to someone who's been found guilty. The judgment is declared. They've been found guilty. And as a result of sin, death is in the world because we've been found guilty. That's what it says. The word condemnation is the Greek word katakrima. It means the consequences that come from the judgment. Recently, we've been reading in the paper and hearing on the news about this case with the terrorist, Moussaoui. There was the trial. He was found guilty. Then there was what was called the penalty phase, right? And in the penalty phase, he's already been found guilty, but the penalty phase is deciding, well, what's going to happen because he's been found guilty? The result of the penalty phase corresponds to the Greek term katakrima, means condemnation. So get this. This is the bad news, but you got to know the bad news to appreciate the good news. The bad news is sin has entered the world through one man. What's the consequence? Death. What are the implications of death? Judgment and condemnation. We've been weighed in the balance of God's justice, all found guilty. Judgment. The consequence? Condemnation. Let me just do a little straw poll here. And this is not going to be published in the Orange County, you know, Register, so nobody has to feel bad about that. How many of you, in any way, shape, or form, physically, emotionally, spiritually, could say at some point in your life you felt condemned? Yeah. Think about that. It's if you didn't raise your hand, you're condemned because you're lying. But anyway, all of us have felt that. You see? We've all had that feeling. Why? That feeling corresponds to a reality that is in the world in which we live that has been introduced by this great invader called sin. Sin has upset God's original intention. And sin has brought consequences, death, physical, spiritual, eternal death. Well, what does death look like, feel like? Judgment and condemnation. Remember that movie, Tom Hanks, Dead Man Walking? There's a lot of people, Dead Man Walking. They're alive physically for now, but spiritually they're dead. There are people who are alive physically and alive spiritually. They've come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They've been made alive, but because of choices of disobedience, choices of sin, they still experience the consequence. Death, spiritual death. Well, what's that? It's the absence of life. Well, Galatians chapter 5 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's life. When we experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we're experiencing spiritual life. But when we experience anything other than that, we're experiencing death. Guilt, shame, condemnation, lust, pride, jealousy, anger, fear. That's death, you see. We're separated from life. These are spiritual laws that are in play. Romans 5 is helping us get a perspective. Why are they in play? And is there anything that can be done about it? And the good news is, yes, there is. But you got to know the bad news to really appreciate the good news. Where'd sin come from? Sin entered the world through one man. What are the consequences of sin? Death, judgment, condemnation. Well, why in the world do we sin? I don't want to. I'd rather not. Why do we do it? We sin because we are sinners. We sin because we're sinners. As I mentioned, my daughter Ashton at Starbucks over a mocha frappuccino, she understood this connection between Adam, who lived however many years ago, and every other person who lived, in fact, between Adam and her, and Adam and me, and Adam and you. There's a connection that this passage is saying. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men. Why? Because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not sin and break in command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. This passage is saying, here's the deal. Adam had a clear command. He violated it. There's no record of God giving these kind of clear commands until Moses revealing the Sinai covenant, the Ten Commandments, and all the laws and restrictions that were associated with that covenant. Well, what about the people from Adam until Moses? They all died. Even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's sin, which was a breaking a clear commandment. Well, then, if they didn't die because they broke a clear commandment, how is it that they were sinners? They were sinners because of somehow their connection to their great ancestor, Adam. You mean I'm held accountable for Adam's sin? Well, yes and no. I'm held accountable for my own sin. I can't blame Adam. I mean, I got enough stuff of my own. But what got the ball rolling was Adam. He was the great representative of the human race, and he blew it. And every other person that has ever lived is somehow connected in a solidarity with Adam. It's like, I don't get that. Well, let me think of a great theological movie that will illustrate this truth. I know, Troy. You know in this movie, Troy, opening scene where this great battle has taken place, and the biggest, ugliest looking guy comes out to represent this one army. I mean, he's huge. He's massive. Scars, he's got big old traps. He's going in and he's going, rah, like that. Remember that scene, guys? You saw that movie? Gals who were dragged along with your husbands? Okay, you know that movie. Then, you know, the shout goes out, Achilles! Achilles! And this great physical specimen, Brad Pitt, he comes out. Now, you put the two together, and you think there's no way you can win. But in the story following Greek mythology, Brad Pitt is Achilles who was dipped in the river Styx, and his one weakness was, you know, the Achilles heel. Other than that, no one could defeat him in battle. He's the greatest warrior who ever lived. He goes out and fights this guy, and it's a great opening battle scene, and he defeats him. In defeating him, it wasn't just Achilles beating this big ugly guy. No, all the armies that Achilles represented just won. Boom. Why? He was a representative, and his victory gave victory to all his armies. The other guy, he was a representative, and his defeat brought defeat to the entire army. Same thing happened, David, Goliath, and Samuel. The Israelites had a great victory over the Philistines. Why? Because David defeated Goliath. Adam represented the human race. His sin plunged the entire human race into sin. Every person is born with an inherited propensity to sin. And regardless of what some sociologist or psychologist will tell you, ask any parent, and they know it's exactly true. Taylor, my just pride and joy, 18 years old, I couldn't love him any more than a father could love a son. He's the greatest kid, you know, ask me, that's what I think. He's the greatest kid ever. But I remember when he maybe was just a year and a half. He was still in diapers on the floor. We had a fireplace, And now he was starting to move all around, and he was understanding directions. And he wanted to go into that fireplace. And I set him down, and I said, no. And he went, no. I said, no, no. And I sat, and he looked at me, and he looked at the fireplace. He looked back at me, and he looked at the fireplace, and he crawled right into the fireplace. I pulled him back, and I said, no. He looked at me. He looked at the fireplace. He looked at me. He looked at the fireplace. He crawled right back to the fireplace. I set him back, and literally, I am not exaggerating, with tears in my eyes, I took his little hand, and I slapped it, and I said, no. He looked at me. He looked at the fireplace. He looked at me. He looked at the fireplace. He crawled right to the fireplace. Now the tears are a little more in my eyes, and I slapped his hand a little harder, and I said, no, Taylor, do not go into the fireplace. And he finally stopped. Why? Because he was inherently renewed inside? No, because he didn't want to get his hand slapped. Every parent knows that little Johnny or little Jenny, as beautiful and as gracious as they are sinners. That's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 5. So, where does sin come from? It came from Adam. What are the consequences of sin? Death, judgment, condemnation. Why do I sin? Because I have an inherited corruption in my nature. Every person does. So I am a sinner both by nature and by choice. I make my own choices. I can't sit around and blame Adam, and neither can you. But we have from Adam an inherited nature, a disposition towards sinning. That's the bad news. What's the good news? What has God done about the problem of sin? That's what the whole rest of this passage is all about. What God's done is given us a whole new nature. Romans 5, 15 to 19 describes in detail what came because of Adam and what is now ours because of Jesus Christ. What came because of Adam and what is now ours because of Jesus Christ. What came because of Adam and what is now because of Jesus Christ. You see, every person has a spiritual history. We have a spiritual genealogy. Maybe you like to trace back your genealogy. It's amazing when your kids do the assignment, you know, for school to trace back their genealogy, how every kid had somebody on the Mayflower. I don't know how that works, but every seems like every kid did. We all have a history. We come into this world, Romans 5, 15 to 19 says, with a history in Adam. This is what God does. God gives us a whole new spiritual history, a whole new spiritual genealogy. He translates us out of our identity just in Adam and gives us a new identity in Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 15 to 19 explains this. It's summarized in verses 18 and 19. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation to all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification of life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Because of Adam, we had an identity in sin. Because of Jesus Christ, we have an identity in righteousness. God has declared us righteous. We looked at that last week in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our status, our identity right now is righteous before God. God, as the judge, has rendered a verdict. He rendered it in Adam, guilty. He renders it in Christ, not guilty. He rendered it in Adam, condemnation. He renders it in Christ, righteousness. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God has given us a whole new righteous standing in Jesus Christ. It's our new identity. It's our new spiritual identity. Remember the old TV show? This is where it's interesting. The old TV show, they made some movies and remakes of it. Adam's Family. You know, they're creepy and they're kooky. They're all together spooky. The Adams Family. Their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Adams Family. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Adams Family had the wackiest family. You had Gomez. You had Morticia. You had Uncle Festus. You had Lurch. You had Thing. You had Cousin It. You had Pugsley. You had Wednesday Friday. They were all wackos. Because there was something about the family system. We came into this world in a family system, not Adam's family, but Adam's family. Get a little tip. There you go. I know, it was bad. So, that's who we were. What's God done? He's given us a whole new spiritual identity in Jesus Christ. Set us free, made us righteous, covered us with his grace. That's the good news. But you cannot appreciate the good news unless you really know the bad news. And the bad news is sin has come into the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sinned. And death brings judgment and condemnation. What has God done for us in Jesus Christ? He's made us righteous. He's covered us with his grace, and he's given us a whole new spiritual identity to set us free. To set us free. What God wants us to live in today is the freedom of Jesus Christ.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. Did you know that the gospel is both good news and bad news? That's right. It's good news because there's salvation in Jesus Christ. It's bad news because there's a sin problem that separates us from God. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans basically takes this approach. You've got to know the bad news before you can really appreciate the good news. You've got to understand the truth of your sin and the consequence of sin so that there would be a desire to repent and embrace Jesus Christ and his salvation. The gospel is both good news and bad news. The bad news, we've all sinned. And the consequence of sin is death. But the good news is salvation in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says that our history determines our future. And basically, he takes the entire human race and says there are two histories and two futures. One history is rooted in Adam, the first man. And because Adam sinned, he plunged the entire human race into sin. If our history is in Adam, then our future is death. On the other hand, there's Jesus Christ, who made atonement for our sin. And anyone who believes in Jesus Christ is taken out of Adam and placed into Christ, a whole new spiritual identity, a whole new spiritual history, and a whole new spiritual future, righteousness and eternal life. So here is the analysis of Scripture. Every person is either in Adam or in Christ, dead in sin or alive in Christ, a future of condemnation or a future of righteousness and eternal life. Where are you right now? What is your spiritual condition right now? What is your spiritual history, and what's your spiritual future? See, Romans chapter 5 says this, so that as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come into this world dead in sin, and we make choices to continue to live in sin. But when the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented to us, and we open up our hearts to Jesus Christ, and we truly believe in Jesus Christ, we are translated out of that old identity in Adam into a new identity in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says this, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Accept the good news. Today, Jesus Christ wants to be real in your life. Today, Jesus Christ wants to think through your thoughts. He wants to speak through your mouth. He wants to live through your life. Would you ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, to live his life in and through you, and to fill your life with his grace and his righteousness? If that's your desire, I invite you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me from sin. Thank you that I'm no longer in Adam and in death, but I'm in Christ and I have eternal life. And your righteousness is mine. I pray that right now you would make me strong in grace and you would live your resurrection life in me and through me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives. The Cross Beat.